please?
I'll come up. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, another myth put out there is, well, this was all done to increase home ownership. You know, and they blame George Bush for this, and you know, I'm not used to being in a position of defending Bush. And they blame Fannie Mae, and they blame others for this. The truth of the matter is, this financial crisis had little to do with home ownership. And in the end, if you really look, you know, there's been no appreciable increase in the percentage of homeowners as a result of this lending debacle. In the end, there'll be a net decrease, actually, after all the foreclosures. 90% of the loans that occurred during this period of time, 2001 to 2008, where we had all these bad loans being made, 90% of them were either refinances or to existing homeowners to either change their home or expand their home or get into a bigger house. Very little of it had anything to do
with subprime loans.
Subprime loans, yeah. Well, I'm talking about the problematic loans.
Yeah, only 10% were first-time home buyers.
Yeah. So, you know, this notion that we pushed, which I don't know how that 10% compares to any given year, whether, you know.
I think, to be honest, I think it's CRL research.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't remember the time period.
Is in a normal year, let's say with normal prime lending, is 10% for?
Well, a specific time period. I just don't remember the time period. It's probably the
right. I'm not talking about the time period. I'm talking about in any period when this loan's done, prime loan's done. What percentage of them are from new homeowners versus refinances and existing?
Well, you don't know that through HMDA data.
It goes up and down.
It's got to vary tremendously because in the 2003, you know, there were 15 million loans made in 2003. The refi alone.
Yeah.
Huge fraction of all capacity was used
but
to refi stuff.
For years, during the subprime boom, the great majority of subprime loans was refinance loans. And it was a much higher volume of refinance loans in the subprime than there was for the prime, you know. So
what did you want me to talk about that I talked about earlier?
So you mentioned home ownership earlier and these myths. I mean, you had a couple of times, and even when we first started our conversation before Alexis arrived, you're discussing the affordable housing goals, the home ownership, the Community Reinvestment Act. I just wanted to make sure that we had your view clearly stated.
Yeah, I mean, I think when a person, I'm drawing analogies as a way of telling my stories today. I don't know what it is. Everything I want to say has an analogy. But it's kind of like being in a group of people and, you know, you've done something wrong. And the way to take the focus off of you is to blame somebody else. That's precisely what the industry has managed to do with their conservative apologists in Congress and in the media. It's to actually blame somebody else. And, you know, the notion of blaming poor people is the reason the American financial services sector and the U.S. economy collapsed, is about as absurd a proposition as anybody could ever make.
So the poor people had that power?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, but not only that, first off, if you look at where the majority of subprime loans went, even though they disproportionately went to people of color, they went to all classes of people. Majority of them went to middle class people.
It was not a low or moderate income.
Right.
Targeted, no.
The idea of blaming affordable housing goals is also an absurdity because those goals, whether they were CRA goals for banks, which banks were required to pass the CRA exam, which simply said, you know, you can't ignore working class blue collar people's credit needs.
No quotas.
But you still have to, right, no quotas in the law. But what was in the law is you have to make those loans safe and soundly. It's actually written in the law, not the regulation in CRA. So there was nothing in CRA that suggested, promoted, supported, nor were there any advocates or organizations who understood CRA and promoted CRA that would have supported unsustainable loans. That's not helping a person. That's injuring a person. Whatever their savings are that they put down on a house, whatever hopes or dreams they have about having a stable home for their family, their children, to lose all that, nobody wants that. So why would you advocate for that? We didn't. Nobody did. It's a ruse argument on the part of people to blame CRA. And perhaps the greatest evidence of that is comes from the Federal Reserve itself, who have done studies that have shown when it comes to CRA-regulated institutions, these high-cost loans, and subprime loans that were made that were that caused the problem we're in, less than 6% of these loans were done by these banks in their CRA regulated areas. I mean, it's not defensible. And so, but when you get people from the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation and bought and paid for by the financial services sector congressmen constantly saying it, and then you have people like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and a whole slew of others just constantly saying that, well, you're not talking about the real culprits, which is Wall Street, big banks, independent mortgage companies, rating agencies, and all the other players in this giant Ponzi scheme. You're talking about poor people and you're talking about the government. It's so easy to blame the government, right? It's so easy to blame the government. What frustrates me is I'm probably as big a critic of the government as anybody. But you have to give credit where credit is due. Most Americans in the United States own the fact that they own a home to the existence of Fannie and Freddie. Most. Today, FHA and the VA. It's those government agencies, all those returning GIs from World War II, including Bill O'Reilly's dad, getting home mortgages guaranteed by the federal government at 4% interest rate with nothing down. You didn't have to pay your down payment for 20 years. Those are the kinds of things that this government did for people so they could join the middle class, become homeowners. These people who have accused Fannie and Freddie and the government's involvement in the system are undermining the sanctity of the home as part of the American dream. And that's going to really hurt us in the long run if we end up constricting credit, safe and sound, responsible lending to all classes of people. And it's particularly going to leave a lot of traditionally underserved people out of the equation. Under what's being said today from Hensling and others, those returning GIs who didn't have a down payment wouldn't get a house. Those families who are blue collar, who are looking to buy a modest home but are not particularly well-heeled and don't have a lot of assets, won't get a home. If we constrict, just as a matter of general principle, home buying and say, well, the free market will provide, we know what the free market's capable of doing. We also know, how's the free market doing today in provision of home mortgages and securitizing home mortgages? How are they doing today? They're not buying anything. For all the criticism of Hensling and his hoodlums, they all want Fannie and Freddie to stick around in reality, and FHA, because that's the only game in town. Those are the only people securitizing anything. So,
great.
Leave it at that. Can you turn that off?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.